the responsibility I have as governor to read and thoroughly review every bill that comes to my desk is one I take very seriously. This process is important because this assessment is the last safeguard against flawed legislation becoming the law of the land. Last week, we began our review of Senate Bill 509 and quickly identified a dramatic and far-reaching problem that was not discussed during the public debate about this legislation in the General Assembly. Senate Bill 509, as truly agreed to and finally passed by the legislature, would eliminate income tax on Missourians with income greater than $9,000 a year. That's right, eliminate. Let me explain. Missouri's tax code contains a number of brackets or ranges of income subject to certain levels of taxation. Currently, the top bracket includes all Missourians with incomes over $9,000 a year. Senate Bill 509 says that once this legislation is fully phased in, the top bracket, quote, shall be eliminated. The result of this provision would be to wipe out 97% of all individual income tax collections in the state of Missouri. Given the cataclysmic nature of this provision, we immediately sought an outside independent review to verify our analysis. Washington University law professor Cheryl Block is an expert on individual and corporate tax policy. In fact, she wrote the book on this topic, as her textbook on corporate taxation is now in its fourth edition. For more than 30 years, she has taught classes on tax law, legislation, and statutory interpretation. Professor Block's analysis confirmed that Senate Bill 509 would, quote, completely eliminate the top state personal income tax bracket, and as a result, taxpayers with incomes over $9,000 a year would pay no tax at all. Following this outside legal review, we then had State Budget Director Linda Lubring and the professional staff at the Office of Budget and Planning conduct an analysis of the fiscal impact of this provision. The results were staggering. This provision would cost $4.8 billion a year when fully implemented, wiping out 65% of the state's general revenue budget and ultimately pushing Missouri into fiscal chaos. It is hard to overstate the crippling impact this would have. Senate Bill 509 would force the outright elimination of the most basic services Missourians count on from their government. Teachers would be laid off and schools would shut their doors. Prisons would close. Mental health facilities would be shuttered. And the AAA credit rating we've boasted and boosted for decades would be downgraded. With a simple stroke of my pen, this bill would separate Missouri from every other state in the nation as the only one unable to meet even the most basic obligations to its people. The consequence of a fiscal disaster on this scale would be devastating, and because of the Hancock Amendment, extremely difficult to undo were this bill to become law. That Senate Bill 509 would have catastrophic implications on Missouri families and schools, really, there's no question. The only question is how something of this magnitude ended up in a five-page bill that passed both chambers of the legislature without debate or public discussion of this problem. There are only two plausible explanations, and both are equally troubling. Either this provision was an accident, another example of carelessness by legislators unwilling to dedicate the time and effort necessary to avoid grave errors like this, or this provision was placed in the bill deliberately at the behest of ideological interests led by one St. Louis billionaire. These interests have long been determined to shift the tax burden away from themselves and onto middle-class families by eliminating the income tax entirely. Whether the result of gross negligence or purposeful effort to dismantle the tax code and defund public education, only the backers of this ill-conceived bill can know. But regardless of their intent, Senate Bill 509 would devastate our economy, bankrupt our state, cripple our schools, and it cannot become law. This disastrous provision is just another example of what happens when legislation is driven by political gamesmanship rather than thoughtful, transparent policymaking. Missourians know that I have never been opposed to making responsible changes to the tax code. In fact, I've cut taxes four times as governor, and Missouri now has the sixth lowest taxes in the nation. But deeply flawed and disastrous measures like Senate Bill 509 have real consequences. And that's why when it comes to the tax code, these changes must be considered in a serious, meticulous, and thoughtful way. Unfortunately, over the past few months, some members have turned the legislative process into a race to see how many tax bills they can put on my desk in as short a period as possible. That is not the right approach. It doesn't produce a good policy, as we see here today. It is, quite frankly, dangerous to our state. For generations, Democrats and Republicans have worked together to protect Missouri's spotless AAA credit rating and keep our state on a fiscally responsible path. Now is not the time to veer off that course. That's why I'm calling on members of the legislature to abandon this dangerous scheme and work with us on a responsible approach, like the one I laid out earlier this year, that will protect public education and keep our state moving forward. Now, I thank you, and I'd like to turn over for just a second, just to get a couple quick minutes with Chris Pieper here, then I'll finish up and then be glad to take questions. To go through a quick analysis, Chris, if you would, the Senior Legal and Policy Advisor, Chris Pieper. Chris.
Thank you, Governor. As you can see, these are blow-ups of an excerpt of Senate Bill 509 and 496, just to walk you through some of the provisions that are at issue. If you see here in 143.011, the subsection 1 imposes the tax, and then the brackets here instruct how to calculate the amount of the tax. So for various different levels of income that are represented in the brackets, on the left side, moving over to the right side, shows you what rate and how to calculate the tax. The new language in bold here that is added with 509 calls for a reduction in some of the rates, and it also requires, and this is the highlighted language here, that the bracket for income subject to the top rate, that bracket is eliminated once the tax rate has been reduced to 5.5%. If the bracket on the left side is eliminated pursuant to this sentence, then there's a new top bracket. That bracket is for income over $8,000 but not over $9,000. What that does is it means that there is no income tax bracket that applies to income over $9,000, meaning that such taxpayers are not subject to tax at all.
Thank you, Chris. As you can see right here in black and white, the problems with this bill are clear, and the impact would be dramatic, affecting every basic public service in every corner of our state and shaking our economy. Missourians deserve better. With a few weeks left in the legislative session, it's time for the General Assembly to set aside these misguided schemes and fiscal experiments and work together on policies that will help our economy rather than hurt it. With that, I'll be glad to take any questions. Clearly, this bill can't become law, but we're going to take the time afforded us in the days ahead to complete our analysis and communicate with folks about the problems that are here.
There's enough analysis already.
Well, I mean, I've laid out what I'm going to do, and I think that making sure that we're able to communicate not just to in a small fashion, but to make sure that Missourians understand the import of this decision. It's very important that these legislators hear, not just from their leadership, not just from their various vote count whips, but from their constituents, about how important the fiscal responsibility of their positions and how the tax code is not something to be played with.
Representative Gale said this morning, used the word laughable 3 or 4 times. If your analysis is laughable, but all you're trying to do is use scare tactics, that you're not even reading all of subparagraph 4, you're only picking out part of it, and reading all of subparagraph 4 clearly gives the Revenue Department the authority to fix the line 22 and take away $8,000 and above the tax bracket, not just
not. Yeah, I mean, that's 3 or 4 different subjects to talk about there, but it would strike me as extremely odd that the legislature would want the Department of Revenue to write the tax laws of our state. This is the tax law of our state. They have a responsibility to write those clearly and not make an excuse that some bureaucrat should have to clean up after them.
If you're correct, they're saying that this is an example of incompetence at your Department of Revenue, which analyzed this bill for its fiscal impact for the fiscal note, and never brought up this issue with this language in the fiscal note response.
I mean, this is not about playing a game of gotcha. This is black and white. This is a bill that has been truly agreed to and finally passed. It is on my desk. My signature would make it law. This is not about some sort of cat chasing its tail as to who to blame who for what where. We are at this point in history because the House didn't want to take any amendments, and they wanted to put this bill on my desk very quickly. This bill and the direct language of this bill crashes a giant hole in the future of this state. And who was around or who missed what or all that sort of stuff is merely a distraction from the core issue as to whether or not folks should play games with the tax code of the state of Missouri or whether we should work together to responsibly deal, as has been done in the past, with the fiscal issues of this state.
Judge Price said that the court would never allow the absurd result of eliminating the top tax bracket. They would look at the language, they would look at the result of that, and they would say that the intent was that that the taxes would remain in place, only a lower rate.
Language is clear. And you know, a couple things. I mean, some might want to read the Street decision in that particular matter, but language is clear. My job is not to speculate about how some judge might rule someday, but to read what the bill actually says. Some folks may be willing to gamble the finances and future of our state in the hopes that a judge will rule their way. I am not. I've said all along that, and you all follow me carefully, that I've signed four tax cuts. They need to be directly tied to creating jobs and focused on being affordable. I mean, once the bill got here, bill review late last week, we became aware as we began the review process. Either late that night or the next morning.
There's no communication from the Revenue Department or the Planning Office if that's something to create this.
I don't know. I know that when the bill was rushed through the House and sent to the desk, sent to my office late that night, that our folks began the process of reviewing it because we were put on a pretty quick time frame there. During the initial stages of that review, it was very, very clear that there's a provision in here that eliminates taxes over $9,000, the income tax.
There's still another bill going around.
I think I got more than one.
but on this subject, if the legislature wanted to rework that paragraph to alleviate your questions about it, how would you suggest they word that so that it's not the problem you bring up?
Well, I mean, it's relatively easy to fix it if you're just working around the drafting. I think the substantive underlying issues are significant, but there are clearly ways to do what they wanted to do in a way that did not have this problem, but that's you know there's lots of ways to do it. I'm not at this point going to go through and get a pencil and say what words would go where, but I think everybody needs to take a big deep breath here, and we got 4 weeks to go, and early in the session, quite frankly, before the session started, on a number of occasions, I've expressed strongly my willingness to work with these folks in this area, as everybody in this room knows. We presented what we thought was a workable compromise in the first section of the session with Senator Krause. That did not ultimately get passed by the Senate, but I have not been shy about you know, whether it's the four tax cuts I've signed or the willingness to work with these folks. We've not been shy about that, our willingness to work with them, and now is the time that everybody should just take a deep breath, set this bill aside, and get to work on what the tasks we have at hand for the last 4 weeks of the session.
I'm assuming you're referring to Rick Sinkfield. What evidence do you have that
he was? I didn't say I had any evidence. I just said that this is exactly what that's what he's been trying to do. He wants to get rid of the income tax. That is what he is, you know, that's not any hidden thing out there. That's exactly what he wants to do. You know, so the fact that comports with this behavior is in this language. Like I said, it is, you know, positionally harmonious.
to take any amendments. Would you be crystal clear? Did someone that works for you ask them to change?
No, I just heard that when the bill went over to the Senate, I was talking to legislative guys. They said no amendments. Take it up and go. I don't know. You have to read bills in order to ascertain problems.
You know, it's the Department of Revenue that ultimately is going to interpret how this is applied.
No, it's not. The courts will, David. Ultimately, if you got $4.8 billion on the table, you can't expect $4.8 billion out there for people not to be litigating about it. This is going to fly its way through any sort of governmental interpretation and head to the courts very, very quickly. And that's just not the way to run a state. To say that 97% of the income tax and 65% of your general revenue is instantaneously going to be involved in trying to prove with the courts that the words "shall be eliminated" don't mean "shall be eliminated." That's a waste of everyone's time, energy, and effort. And anybody making excuses that somebody over at the Department of Revenue should fix all these problems, that's just a smokescreen, folks. I mean, for what needs to be done here, which is responsible legislating.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, yeah. Those are two separate. I mean, once the bill got to my desk and we began reviewing it and this obvious problem became real, we did exactly what I said. Went through an analysis of it, sought additional folks to look at it that are experts in this area, had budget and planning look at it, and that leads us, then we had like holidays, and that led us to today. So we've been in real time. If the legislature were to pass a bill that would become law that says "shall be eliminated," I don't know why we would tell a government agency not to eliminate that. I mean, come on, guys. I mean, as I said, the overall concept of these experimental tax cuts that especially help, you know, the most wealthy in our society is something that is troubling, obviously, and especially when you get to these amounts. But this particular egregious error has been the focal point of my attention over the last 3 or 4 days here.
You don't have a summer this time around to drum up external pressure on these people.
I'm hoping to have a summer this year.
2 weeks, do you have enough time to change people's minds and avoid overrun?
I think clearly that once you get through the initial quick, oh my golly, we couldn't have made a error of this magnitude. And once folks get the chance to look at this and understand the magnitude of what we're dealing with here, my sense is that reasonable minds will come to bear.